Blog Talk Radio.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly.
Welcome once again. My name is Reginald, and we're open for a good topic. If anybody would like to say anything, and we have a lot of callers on the line right now, and I'm going to go to the, I normally say your first three. I don't say your names, so if you like to say your name, that's up to you. Anything you'd like to talk about, you're more welcome to talk about it. So we'll go first. Welcome, Pat.
Hey, Reg. Evening, everybody. Great song. That was I recorded that and a few others The day before, I had to go sign my papers downtown, which was St. Patrick's Day, 2004. And I played it down, you know, on the way down there. And, oh, man, did it give me a rush.
You know, I heard the song, and I was listening to everything he was saying in the song. And I felt it, and I said, I want to play that for the opening of the show. So that was on my mind, you know, and I really enjoyed that song. Let's go to some other callers, and then we'll open it up for any topic. And, Pat, if you'd like to tell us what's going on with the retirees, we'll come back to you on that. Let's go to 865. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Reg, how you doing? How you doing, Pat?
You got it.
This is Ray. I'm retired also. I'm in the battle. We're in the trenches. I'm trying to get organized out here. I need people to help me. And, you know, our problem's a lot bigger than what you guys realize. I mean, look at social decay and corruption and everything else. You're getting it from all ways around you. So I don't know if people realize what dire straits we're in or not. But that's pretty much what I got to say.
Okay, welcome to the show. I keep everybody line open, so if you would like to say something, you're more welcome to jump in the conversation. And, you know, it's an open topic. Welcome to the show, Dan.
How you doing, Reggie, Pat, Ray? How's everyone doing?
Okay, we're going to go to Pat real quick, and then if anybody like to say anything, you're more welcome to talk about anything you like. Pat, can you give us an update on the retirees and what's going on, if you'd like to say anything about it?
Ray, last week, Reg played thing from YouTube about the retirement and all that. Kind of sounds familiar, that voice.
Would you like me to play it again?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
But last year, the city of Chicago announced its plan to phase out subsidized health care for city retirees. Despite our protest, the first round of cuts went into effect in 2014, and all of us have been struggling this year to deal with the higher insurance costs on our limited income. Now the city has announced more health care cost increases for 2015, imposing even greater hardships on retirees. Those of us who are eligible for Medicare are especially hard hit. Overall, our premium will be more than double from 2013 levels to an annual cost of over $7,500 for an individual with no dependents.
Now, that was the first one. Now, here's a second one called a letter to the city.
This is a letter that I received from the city of Chicago, informing me and other retirees that have worked for the city of Chicago for countless years and that have given their time and effort and risked their lives to the citizens of Chicago, that the city will no longer be providing any health care to its retirees. I find this to be abominable. This is so sad that a city this size says it has no money to provide health care to its retirees who were promised this when they were hired, who've given 30 years or more, and now turns around and says, we're not going to cover you. It's up to you to go out and get a plan. Whether that be $3,000 a month or not, it doesn't matter to us anymore, but you're on your own. I find this to be so sad that a city of this size, Chicago, is doing this to its retirees who've worked for the city for so long. Other cities don't do this. I hope everyone that reads this can realize what this means to many people who are on fixed retiree incomes. If you're making maybe $5,000-$6,000 a month and you end up paying $2,000-$3,000 a month now for health care, it's a drastic change. And a lot of people won't be able to do it. hope everyone can forward this on, maybe go viral, whatever. But I just want this to get out there. And I want people all over to know what's being done to the retirees in Chicago. Thank you for your time.
There was two clips that I found on YouTube. So if you'd like to respond to it, you're more welcome to it to respond.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm proud to stand, you know, with people like that. You know, they speak up. They know the truth. The only thing wrong with that, he's a little above the retirement income on there. You know, by the city's own admission, the average was $44,000. Then when you take it down, when you take your taxes out and all that, I believe it was like about $38,000 a year you got to live on, or you're 80%, I'm sorry. And then you have to deduct your taxes. I mean, it's just you can't do it. I mean, there's a lot of people that are making even $500 or $1,000 a month that don't have anything else. There's no way they could do the insurance. They have to get on some kind of program or something. Now, this just broke, filed his brief finally. That's our law team. I don't know if you guys got a chance to read it. It's 49 pages. And after the 14th page, my eyes went crossed. You know, I don't deal in that court stuff. But Fran Spellman, of all people, she summed it up very nicely in the Sun-Times. It's all there. And this asshole, so-called mayor, he can't even lie straight. At the beginning of the program, he's bragging that he saved the city $175 million on the health care cost. By the end of the same article, it's $100 million. I mean, the guy can't hold a lie straight even. And, I mean, Cliff gave it to him with all this stuff on here about the email and all that, where he was boasting about taking away a benefit. If he's taking away a benefit, that is the law. You cannot take a benefit away from us, according to the Supreme Court of Illinois. So he's breaking the law again.
I read the whole brief. Sounds like Clint's getting a little pissed off just by the way he worded the brief. They're trying to knock him out of the box, too, by not paying him if he wins. So this is another war we got to fight. The city's doing everything they can to screw us. They want you dead is what they want.
Dan, you want to respond?
Sure. I was on the pension board, LABF, and there's a bill, an SB Senate bill back in March, SB 2437. And it concerns the amends the Chicago Municipal and Chicago Labor's articles of the Illinois Pension Code, increases the retirement age for persons who first become participants on or after effective date of a mandatory act, which is January 1st. And you may be eligible for a reduced retirement age in exchange for an increased employee contributions. Makes changes to the city's required contribution to each fund beginning in payment year 2018. Makes changes to provisions concerning employer contributions. Creates a payment obligation to the fund and provides enforcement to in payments. Authorize blah blah blah. Makes but here's what gets me. It makes changes to the definition of an employee. They don't go into any specifics. Removes city comptroller from the board of each fund and adds two members appointed by the mayor. So what that says, there's four and four on the fund. There's four appointed by the mayor and four by the union. A couple elected, a couple appointed. That means the comptroller, one of his people, will step down, but he'll get two more. So he'll have the advantage five to four in voting. So right now it's in all these committees, but be on the lookout for that coming out.
Wow. It's an open platform, so anybody want to respond can respond to Dan.
Yeah, Dan, you're right on that. The thing is, though, we went to court on it, and they can't touch it. I mean, they could change the law, but it's going to take an awful lot to do it. And, you know, even though a lot of people hate this guy, and I'm no fan of his, but right now we got Madigan standing in his way. for whatever reason it is, because you can't trust Madigan either, but at least we have somebody standing in his way. I mean, this governor just, he wants to knock out everybody, and he'll do anything to do it. And then he's running these stupid-ass ads already, the duct tape ads. I mean, it's ridiculous. So this is your future, Currents. I mean, Reg, I hate to tell you. I mean, you guys got to really fight this. This is getting worse every day. And the only thing you have to look forward to, like I told you before, is to turn 65 and get on Medicare. And that's even if Medicare is still around by then. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well,
Ron's picture up in your union law, a couple of them. Isn't that kind of like Hitler did?
Well, I found it ironic, Reggie. Yeah, the same day Bruce Frauner donated $50 million into his campaign, Willie Wilson was on the South Side. He'll probably run for mayor. He gave away $200,000 for back taxes to people that couldn't afford their taxes. So this is what you got in Chicago. You got a billionaire. He didn't give a dime to anybody in need, but he'll put $50 million in his campaign. Then Willie Wilson, I give him credit, even though, you know, he may not be the best candidate, he put his money where his mouth is. He gave some benefits to people in need. So I tip my hat.
Well, that was good. Anybody want to respond, you're more welcome.
Yeah, Willie does have a heart. I got to admit that. He's got some crazy ideas, though, but he does have a heart. And, you know, I'll give him that. I salute him on that.
So nobody haven't came out yet, but most likely it'll probably be the same candidates.
Oh, for mayor?
Well,
you're going to have a lot more candidates this time, a lot more viable candidates. Last time you just had Chuy Garcia, basically. You had Willie Wilson and you had Rahm Emanuel. I predict there'll be six or seven this time around. And a lot of them will be good. You'll have Chuy Garcia, he'll run again. I believe Troy LaVallee will run. And I don't think Emmanuel's going to run. I think he's going to push his flunky fellow hedge fund buddy, Kurt Summers. And he'll probably have a couple more candidates. But I don't think Rahm will run. He may, but he's not going to get 50%, that's for sure. He'll be in another runoff if he does. And I think he knows it. I don't know if he wants to face that fact.
Anybody like to respond?
No, you got any callers out there?
So far, no callers yet.
Boy, oh boy, I can't believe it. I preached on
it. You know, this is contract time at that. Contract right after the election would be May 4th. It would be the nomination for 1001 union officials. And after the election in June, there would be a contract open. So, hey, is rumors going around about cutting hours? Is rumors going around cutting pay? Is rumors going around that you got to pay your own health care? And it seemed like, you know, I'm beating against the wall and the same thing. And it seemed like people don't want to come to the meetings, but they ask you when you're working what happened at the union meeting. It's the same thing. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, when the shit hits the fan and they finally open up their eyes to what's going on, they're going to regret all this because, like, for the past 3 years, we've been preaching to them to wake up. You have to stand up. We're not going to be there to do it for you again. And that's true. That thing that Dan was reading about, they're still trying to get that 3% out of you by hook or crook. They want to increase that. And that's exactly one of the things that the Supreme Court ruled on that they couldn't do. Now, if they call it something else, they could probably get away with it. You know, that's how they operate. But these people got to wake up. It's going to get worse, Reg. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. They're selling you out by everything. It doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, one thing that, you know, I'm not saying nothing against any of my brothers in 1001, but it seemed like certain people like aviation, CDOT, transportation, they show up to vote. And they show up to vote because they have a better interest in voting because the city really don't attack those departments. But the people that does the garbage within sanitation, you get attacked every day. Even taking a break to use a washroom, you get attacked. But you don't show up to vote. There's almost 130 people in every grid. And during election time, you might get 20 people per grid to vote, show up. Yeah, and I'm being nice by saying 20. So it's mind-boggling. But, I just don't know what to say anymore about my own 1001 brothers that don't want to vote.
Yeah,
don't want to be a part of anything.
Reg, the thing is, those guys in transportation, aviation, and all the other places, what is it, CDOT, it's going to hit them. He is screwing with their insurance, too. They're not immune. Sure, they make more, but it's still going to get them. Like, we got a guy on the site. He's going to turn 52. He wants to retire. I says, well, you know what? You better look at the payments. I had another guy. He says that the currents, he's also a current. The currents were arguing with him what the insurance costs. So I had to give him all the figures. I mean, they'll sit there and argue with you, and they listen to the wrong people. We have nothing in this. We do not get paid union dues. We give a shit about these new union people that are in there because they don't give a shit about us. There's nothing for us to gain. We've been to court, the retirees. We've been through all this shit. We are trying to warn everybody. Like I always said, we can't wipe your ass. You got to wipe your own ass.
Dan, if you want to respond, it's a new caller popped in. The new caller, I go by your first three numbers. I do not say your name unless you like to say your name. If it's anything that's bothering you, city politics, union politics, you're more welcome to talk. I keep everybody mic open so you can jump in and out of the conversation. So welcome to the show, 220.
Yeah, I just got your text. It's me.
We're talking about the same thing about the retirees. I read your post on Facebook, too. And, Pat been doing the same thing, trying to get people motivated to get out to the courthouse. So if you'd like to jump in, Dan or, anybody welcome to say anything they like.
Well, as you were saying, Rich, go ahead, 202, 220.
Everybody's got to come to that court
some more
hearing.
Info.
It's coming up shortly, and it's more for you guys than us. I mean, we're the old geezers, and who knows how much longer we'll be around. We're fighting for you guys, and we're paying for it. So, I don't know what else to say. I mean, what's it going to take? I mean, this is your future.
Yeah. 220.
Well, I'm just listening, but I must say that it is frustrating these days, but you can't let things get to you. You know, I sometimes have to come to the conclusion that everybody just don't want to fight. Some people just got to fall in the hole before they can get it. You know what I'm saying? So you have to do the best you can for yourself. You can't keep begging people to fight for themselves. You know, we just have to do the best we can with what we have.
Dan, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I don't mind fighting for other people. Like Pat said, you got to at least come out to vote. You know, and like, you know, people, you know, I know the song and dance, they ask you about the union meeting. You know, you don't mind answering once or twice or three, but every time, I mean, people start to get. They have to start going to the meetings. If they were at the last meeting, they would have had a little entertainment because Bob Cianelli lost his mind and came after you. He got in my face.
Yeah.
So if this is a professional way to act by a union representative, then maybe the international should take a look at it because his conduct was deplorable. And these guys who were fighting for, you know, like Pat and Ray said, we don't get paid for this. This is out of our pocket. The lawyers working on pro bono, on donations, and yet I've gone to current employees on their lunch break, and they look at me like I'm from outer space. Like, you're nuts. You don't know what you're talking about. First of all, current workers have no idea, none whatsoever, on health care costs for retirees, be it with the city policy that expired or without. They have no idea. They don't know how good their insurance is, their current insurance. But like you say, they're talking about, our union is talking, did a roadshow talking about reduced work week and reduced benefits. So if these guys don't vote our current leaders out, they're in for a big slap in the face, and their careers may end. And if they don't end, their career will definitely end early. I'll tell you that, because the harassment will continue. The harassment is just going to continue until these guys are gone, until we get a slate of candidates that will stand up and protect you at a hearing, so these guys won't, in these modified agreements, will be thing in the past. Everything should be in writing. No oral modified agreements. And I hope Paul Reed would put that in writing.
Well, you know, well, right now I see that we don't have anybody from United Slates here anymore. I wonder why, but I'm not going to question it, you know, why. But I want to say this, Dan, and correct me if I'm wrong. Nobody have a guarantee in getting their contract as far as the members. Because the one guy going to argue with me saying that all the sanitation are grandfathered in. That is not true. Do you know anything about this, Dan?
No, what you told me, since you're an executive board member, you know what's going on. And I believe you when I think you told me in the Constitution, if the city lays off, if the city gets rid of general laborers, the career service laborers will then become general laborers. They will
right.
go down the pay scale to $19.50 an hour. Now, I believe our union would do something like that. And I'm sure our union has told these guys, no, it'll never happen, it'll never happen. But I could see that happening because these guys have given away the store that our unions have fought for well over 30 years. It's been given away in the last 8 years.
Let me ask you a question, and Pat might jump in on this question. Have you ever seen a union have two union meetings, a meeting with the general laborers and then a meeting with the permanent laborers, sanitation laborers?
Have I?
Never,
right.
Never in my day, Reg. It was always, you know, on a Sunday, everybody was there. Anybody wanted to voice anything, you could voice it. And then afterwards, we went for our steak and eggs, and that place was jam-packed. I mean, you want to talk unity. That was unity. These people took care of you. I mean, we were 135% funded, between 95 and 135% funded on our pensions. How did it go down so fast? Who was watching the store? I mean, it got cut more than 50%. I mean, why? And then Daly, with his shot, stealing from her pension to give it to other pensions. And we caught him the second time and told him, no more. And that's when he got rid of our union. Our union was too good for him.
Anybody like to respond?
Well, I think the problem is really, you know, got to basically a society problem. Nobody can do anything about anything. Everybody wants to complain, but they don't want to fight. Okay, it's as simple as just your neighborhood. Certain people will pick up the paper in front of your house, in front of their house every day, every time they see something. And there are other people who just let it, still won't do anything about it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we, and it seems like it's more people that don't care anymore than people that do really care. It gets frustrating, you know, because it's everywhere. It's not just on our jobs, it's on everybody's job. You know, and you got one or two people fighting over here and one or two people fighting over here. And everybody else seems to be comfortable until shit hits the fan. But then it'll be too late then. I'm just frustrated by the fact that people won't even fight for themselves. You know, that's frustrating enough for me. I've never seen a time when, like he said, our union meetings should be packed. We might get testy and might throw a cuff or two. But then after it was over, we settled it. Everybody went and had something to eat. Then we moved on to something new. But we were a united front. Now it's not, you know, you got a U and a D, and ain't the rest of the letters is missing.
I totally agree. And I noticed they're telling the general laborers one thing, they tell the sanitation laborers something totally different. No rumor would get out if everybody was there at the same time and you're talking about the same thing. Because a lot of general laborers told them that they was promised to get up to $2 to $3 raise. And I just don't see it. So I go by the first three numbers. Everybody, mic is open. We have another caller that joined us. We're talking about anything you would like to talk about the union. We're talking about the retirees' health care. And if there's anything on your mind you'd like to talk about, you're more welcome to talk about it. So let's go to 331. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
You got it. So is there anything you'd like to say? You're more welcome to talk about it. Anything on your mind?
Yeah, I just want to it's my first time here. I hope you can hear me. I just want to thank Pasquale Opresky and Chuck Lomano and Frangelo and yourself, sir, for keeping up the fight against the injustice and the human rights violation. This is a human rights violation and a broken contract. And I want to congratulate the attorney, Clint Krisloff, for such a fine job he's doing. He's finding that he's doing it all alone. I guess I'll just hear from now on, see what's going on. I would just like to listen.
Okay, you're more welcome. And if anybody would like to go back into the archives and listen to it, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/open16. That's blogtalkradio.com/open16. And if anybody would like to pass the number out, we always hear on Mondays from 5 to 6, and sometimes if it's really good, we'll go overtime for another hour. So if you'd like to pass the number to your friends and they just want to call in, it's a total free phone call. It's 602-753-3017. I'll repeat it. It's 602-753-3017. So it's a total free phone call, and I designed this show to keep us informed. I can't go to the war yards like the current people in office right now. So it's a way that we all can watch out for each other, or if it's something on our minds, we can talk about it. The retirees can tell us what's going on court, because we're going to retire one day, and when we retire, there won't be nothing for us. So it's an open forum. We hear all the time on Mondays, and I keep everybody mic open, so when you want to jump in the conversation, you're more welcome to jump in. So, Pat, would you like to respond to 331 giving you a shout-out?
That last caller, we don't need any thanks. This is Pasquale. We don't need any thanks. That's the way we were, and that's the way we're going to be. I mean, we believe in fairness. Even when I was a foreman and a district supervisor, whatever my men did, I did it with them. I went on a blaster truck even, spraying the walls. When I was out at 18th and Clark, I put up snow fence, loaded semis. You name it, I did it with my crews. I was happy to make the money, and I was also happy to work with the crew. Sometimes I got some flack for it, but I didn't give a shit. That's the way I was. I spent 18 years in the alley, and I wasn't going to change for anybody. But then again, I was union sponsored, and that was when the union was a union.
Thank you.
Dan, you'd like to respond, or 220, you would like to say anything? Dan?
Rich.
Yeah. I can hear you.
This is...
Hello?
Who are you talking to, 220?
Yeah, 220.
Yeah, I wanted to... earlier you had mentioned about the two different meetings, and you have to think, we have never had two different titles on the job, first of all. You know, we've all been laborers, 1001. There was no such thing as a general labor, which is something if you remember that we really fought against them even bringing in, okay, because it was at a lower salary. You know what I'm saying? And this is probably why they brought them in, that title in advance, so they could switch it up down the road. you know, like if you've been with the city a long time, when I first started, they had foremen, and then when they wanted to get rid of them, they changed their title to
Verna. They did have different titles if you think about it. I mean, at the same union meeting, you had asphalt laborers who had construction titles, aviation laborers who had the title of aviation labor. I mean, there was a difference in pay of like a dollar or two between them all. But we never had separate meetings like this. This is unbelievable. And it shouldn't be happening. That's wrong. It's like you're trying to sneak something through. So, but we did have other titles.
That's exactly what they're trying to do, sneak something through. And as I asked Smoke Ellis at the meeting, his response was a technicality. It was an informational meeting for the general laborers. It wasn't a general union meeting. So that's how they justify it. However, according to his words, any member can go to an informational meeting. They can't turn you away. That's what Smoke Ellis told me. Now, if he may have changed his mind if it happens, but anytime they have another informational meeting, you can go, and supposedly you won't get turned away, according to Smoke Ellis. So Reggie says they're trying to conquer and divide, and Reggie heard it's a $2 to $3 raise. Why aren't they getting a $16 an hour raise up to, you know, career service pay? The $2 or $3 raise, Reggie, I guarantee you what it's going to be. It's going to be for a one-man truck. They're going to get the same pay as a career service guy in a one-man truck. Instead of 25 cents an hour they're getting now, that'll be their raise. And the union's trying to justify how great of a job they're doing by giving them a equality raise, which everyone else makes, working one-man, which they don't. So I think these general laborers are a little smarter than the union gives them credit for, and hopefully they'll see through it.
And another laborer asked me a question. He said, why is it that since we put all these years in, we're not capable of going to the center and take the same classes the general laborers are taking? So the only thing I can tell him is when I brought it to the e-board said it would cost too much money. And that's their excuse. But it don't make sense that you're paying somebody $19.50 and they're doing all these skills, but they're going to pay a person $36 just to walk down the alley. So it seemed like you should allow us to take those classes, so we can be more versatile to doing the same job. So
well,
I'm
just
throwing that out. That's how I feel. Go ahead.
Doesn't the city pay for that training?
They pay a percent of it. They pay some of it. They don't pay the whole thing.
Okay, then the union, instead of going on junkets to Las Vegas, maybe that money could go towards training career service guys. Instead of going to auditing contracts for Smoke Ellis, instead of hiring $100,000 a year job for a e-board member Latasha, maybe that money could go to training.
Last time I asked, that's what I was told, that it cost too much. So just like the wellness program. Nobody voted to be in the wellness program, but somehow a lot of the members was forced into the wellness program. And if you don't attend it, they take $50 from you and $50 from your spouse. That's $100 per check, $200 a month. So it just don't make sense. So
what does the organizing director say about this? Will Irving, another contractor for the union, you know, if they want to save money, cut out an organizing director, you know, start cutting out all these contracting jobs. We don't need, you know, if they really want to save money. They want to save money on the backs of union workers. They don't want to save any money on administrative expenses. It's basically what they're saying.
Anybody like to respond? You're more welcome.
No, I just want to shine in on the wellness program to make it worse. Is that once you miss once, I don't care if you miss like in April, they'll take out $50 a check all the way to December.
Wow.
Okay, go ahead. You were talking about the union.
A buddy of mine told me another thing that's similar to yours. Him and his wife got a divorce, and since he got a divorce, she dropped out the program, and he got stuck to he had to pay for her for the whole year, like you just said, too. he can drop her out the program. So it's a way to make money. Go ahead.
Yeah, for his first. But I think the teacher in the last contract, the teacher's union told him to take that and shove it up your ass, Ron. And they took that out now for the teachers.
And the police and the fire.
That union's on a different level.
Maybe your union can.
No, well, you don't understand. You have real unions, then you have local 1001 labor unions. Local 1001 is at the bottom. Other unions fight for their members. Local 1001 doesn't fight for its members. They fight for the administration. They fight to keep their second jobs. Bob Gianelli's been in there since 1996. He made $87,000 in 2003, I believe. And with cost of living, I'm sure he's making well over 100. These guys have made tons of money. They've done nothing. They don't even represent any hearings anymore for the general population of labor, general members.
And part of the wellness program, I brought it up to the E-Board meeting, and after the IGs reported they didn't know where the money was, that every member should have been able to get out of the wellness program, and I didn't even ask for a retro of the money we put in, just get out of the program. We lost that vote 5-2. The only two people who voted to get out of the wellness program was me and Frank Arullo. The other five said keep all the members in the program. But my problem is they're not in the program. So how can you keep somebody in the program that you're not even in? Anybody like to respond? They're more welcome to respond.
Well, for one, I never got in. I just bit the bullet and paid the $50 because I refused to get in because I didn't trust them. I worked there long enough to know not to trust anything about management, anything about my hospitalization, anything about my personal life. So I just bit the bullet. But I didn't have to get out because I never got in.
Yeah. Pat, you want to say anything or anybody like to respond to it?
I just think that the members from the local 1001 should be vocal about that. I mean, it's a scam. What do they do with that $50 a check? And here's the killer. Once they start taking it out, like I said, that goes on all the way to December. And then I tried like tracking somebody down to talk to a person. There's nowhere to go. You run into roadblocks. Everybody you talk to, it's just like you're trapped. And then now the scam hits you. It's real.
Yeah. I'm going to repeat once again for anybody that just called in. I do not say your name. I only use your first three of your phone number. We're talking about the retirees. We're talking about the wellness program. We're talking about getting people out to the court cases for retirees as well as the presidents, because it's going to affect us when we retire. So it's an open platform. If you'd like to join the conversation, we use your first three numbers. So I'm going to welcome somebody else to the show, and everybody, mic is open. So if you want to jump in the conversation, you're more welcome to jump in. 543, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me back in the show, guys.
Okay, you're more welcome to say anything you like. If you like to talk about the retirees, if you like to talk about the health care, just jump in whenever you feel comfortable.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Pat, you was going to say something before I bought 543 in?
Yeah, it's a dirty shame when you don't have a union representing you, but you pay them. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's unheard of. All the blood, sweat, and tears that came all the years from the 1930s until the present time, everything was for nothing because you got a troop of idiots running the place that'll do anything for Ron. I mean, they gave him $100,000. Well, you know, what's ridiculous about that is they stood up in court and the lawyers said they do not represent us or side with us on the COLA case or the health care case, both the pension and 1001. They both said it. Now, and then they turned around and gave $100,000 of your guys' dues without any vote to the enemy. Now, why didn't they take that $100,000, throw it into the fund for the lawyer, and defend what we had coming after 36 years? This is uncalled for. And you know who came to our aid? The police union, Dean Angelo. Dean Angelo contributed $100,000 at the beginning of the case instead of 1001. That's the kind of assholes you got in 1001 now.
Wow. Anybody like to respond?
Yeah, well stated.
And I'm going to remind you, there is going to be an election coming up in June. The nomination will be May 4th. So the retirees, you should be getting a letter. If the retirees want to get involved into the election, you got to contact Victor Rowe and pay $60 to be reinstated. So that's a little information if anybody needs it.
I have one question. Is it a time limit on how long you've been retired, or you just pay the $60?
Nope, just pay $60 and they'll reinstate you.
For 1 year.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay.
If you pay the 60, it's for 2017. Now, the previous years,
okay,
it doesn't matter. Now, if you want to be in it for 2018, you pay another 60 next year.
Okay. I wanted to get clarification. Okay, that's good. That's good to know.
And as a retiree, Dan comes to the meeting sometimes. Dan, what's your take when you do come to the meeting? Do you think it's informational or what?
Oh, it's highly informational. There's a lot of stuff when they read the financial things, they go through it like they're like one of those auction readers, blah, 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 you know, they do it real fast so nobody catches what they're saying. But I have questions. Why are they paying a Westchester pension fund for workers in Westchester? Our union is paying their pension contribution. I want to know why, and I'll ask it at the next meeting. If they stonewall me, I'm going to the international with it. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Why is our union paying for Westchester workers and they're not taking their contributions out of their own checks to the pension fund? So we'll find out at the next meeting. And I hope Bob's in a better mood. Bob Cianelli, that is.
Okay. 543, you have any questions or comments for anybody?
You know, I really feel sorry for all these guys that work more than lives and contribute to their pension, and at the end they're getting a kick in the butt pretty much. I truly believe people need to get involved in politics to make the changes as well. Whether you're a carpenter, an electrician, or a policeman,
amen,
or a worker, you need to get involved in politics. You don't need to have a four-year college degree or a master's degree to get into politics. If you care about your people, if you care about the community, you get involved and you solve the problems. I'm sorry to tell you this, guys, but Ron Emanuel right now is sucking the cow and milking the cow from left to right, whether it's the taxes,
Can I butt in here?
Sure.
Hello? Yeah, can you tell me to get off speaker? Because it's a waste of time. Can you get off speaker? Because all we hear is static.
It's kind of like
543.
Right now,
yeah,
can you hear me there better?
Yeah, not
yeah,
here.
That's way better.
That's it. Yeah. Many of these problems right now, like they say they went to court, we know very well in the court system. These people or these career politicians are putting up judges that pretty much they set up the deals to their way, and you will always lose. So we need to be realistic what's happening in Chicago. If we want to make the changes, we need to get involved politically. There is no other way.
Yeah, we don't need no thinking budgets either. We can do it just organizing.
Because honestly, guys, we're going to talk all the time about how bad things are. And things are really bad in Chicago right now, where the middle class and the poor people are being pretty much displaced from Chicago. They're being pushed out because I got friends of mine. They move into they're living in a building. They're paying $800 a month. This real estate company, who is investing big time, kicks them out, and now the property is being rented for $2,500. Can we afford to pay that here? No, we can't. We're being displaced from the city of Chicago. The middle class and the poor people is taking a big hit. You guys are taking a big hit as the pensioners. The question is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to continue talking about it, or are we going to organize and kick those corrupt politicians out of City Hall? That's our problem right there in City Hall. It is called Rahm Emanuel. We need to get him out. Otherwise, he's going to cook us out. Pretty much. He rarely raised property taxes. He's shocking us out, money-wise. We need to do something about it. We cannot just continue saying this and this. I'm sure there is very well-qualified people among the pensioners, among the city workers, that can run for office, run for alderman. There's 50 slaps. We need to organize, and we need to start thinking, how can we make these changes to protect us, to protect our city, and to retake our city back? Because I'm sorry to tell you, this will make kids are taking over our city. We're being run by Wilmette kids who were raised and born in silver platter. Well, you and I and everybody here work our way up, working with our sweat, paying our dues for what? For after 30, 40 years of work, they show you the middle finger, and you don't even have the money to pay your health care programs right now? Think about it.
Anybody would like to respond? Go ahead. You want to respond to the caller?
Everything you said is true. We all know that. We all know how we started out. Sometimes you just have to do what you got to do. Okay, so I'm tired of talking about that. I really am. Okay, it's like, God, we need a solution. Okay, so we got to fix this. And we can't just keep talking about it. He's right. We can't just keep talking about it. I'm tired of talking. Really.
Yeah, you know, I've already been, I put a plan in action already a long time ago. The day after he passed taxes, all I do is every time I meet somebody, I don't care if they're red, white, black, brown, and I tell them, I said, you know, Rahm Emanuel raised taxes. I won't remember him election day. I'll tell that right to a stranger. And, you know, and I keep spreading it and spreading it and spreading it. I figure I'm going to hurt him for about 2,000 votes by the time that comes around, by the time election time comes around, because I talk to strangers. I mean, if we all did that, you know, they're going to remember the conversation.
The other day I was in line at Home Depot, and I posted my experience. I was like about the sixth person in line waiting to pay, and the cashier made the mistake of asking the person, do you want bags? And he blew up, and the whole place just erupted. Everybody was chiming in how much they hate this mayor, what he's doing to everybody. And, you know, me, I had to throw my two cents in and get them more pissed off with stuff they weren't even aware of, because one person even mentioned the retirees. And I go, well, wait a minute. I says, those pensions we paid for 36 years, the city was supposed to match that payment. They used our money, but they never matched the payment. So it's not even our fault. And then by the time I paid my bill, there was 6 to 8 people behind me, and it was still going on how these people hate this idiot that's on the fifth. So maybe we got a chance this time, unless he buys off people like his buddy Nine House in Springfield.
Well, everybody knows.
Let me jump in, guys, on something. Rahm Emanuel. Financial backers happens to be some of the billionaires in the city of Chicago, like Sam Sell, like Frico. Okay, these people are very well set financially. Many of these people are people that basically benefit out of real estate. They benefit about cutting tax, you know, property taxes, where they don't have to pay that much on the properties and things like that. And that's where we pick up all this. Financially, the guy can buy his way for a second term again or whatever, another 4 years. It will be up to the people of Chicago, the middle class, the poor people, to stand up and say to the rich, wealthy people, enough is enough. I want you to pay attention. Chicago is changing drastically from middle class to luxury class right now. Just look in downtown, all the buildings that are being built right now, high-rises. They're stacking it with people that most likely they're going to collect those votes when Rahm Emanuel comes. He's already getting ready. And he and his brother, they have the money. They have Papapalooza. They have Uber. They got all these companies that are making tons of money for them right now. They have the money. But people need to understand one thing. In order for us to beat the money, we need to organize ahead of time. We need to start talking like the gentleman said, we're talking to people. But we need to have a meeting where we can get together and start talking about who can run in which war and who can do what. The money from the pensioners, I'm sorry to tell you this, these career politicians put their hands into the cookie jar like Daley and his nephew are doing with that building that they're trying to sell for $500,000 to the Chinese that they can move into one of these condos and exchange, you will get a green card. And that's not all. This building happens to be in downtown Chicago, and they classify as an underprivileged area, like it is for poor people, for God's sake. And downtown is prime real estate. Those guys, they know how to move the system, how to go around the system to make their money. We're getting screwed up big time, guys, here in Chicago. Everybody, not just city pensioners, everybody. And everybody needs to wake up and realize that we have a problem right now. We cannot continue living in this life of where we're choking financially. What is the American dream now?
Well, I totally agree with you.
Daley and his son, it's been exposed already with that, what they're doing with their downtown building. They are linking properties. As long as the properties touch an underprivileged area, it qualifies for this. Okay? They've been buying up properties, and it's going all the way back to Englewood. And once that's all completed and it's connected, they could pull that shit off. It's all legal.
Amazing. You took these people for office, and in the end they turn out to be a money making machine of taxpayers. That's pretty much what they're doing. They're ripping us off. Yeah, like you said, it's legal. They know, and they set up the rules of the game to exploit us. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. We're being exploited, guys.
They're
also totally agree.
Involved in illegal activities, and for some reason they never get prosecuted. That's where we have to change to the Department of Justice.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Department of Justice.
So, once again, the time is running down on us, but I'm going to let everybody say close. Take up to 2 to 3 minutes per person, and whatever you want to say, you're more welcome to say it. I'll go through each person. Pat, I'll make you last, Danny next to last. So, 5-4-3, take 2 minutes. And say anything on your heart to close us out.
Well, you know, this is Esteban, the troublemaker in Chicago. So I just want to tell you guys, we really love the city. We really care about the city. We have worked very hard for the money we contribute to all these pensions, retirement, whatever it is. And we really need to make a stand. We really need to stand up and fight City Hall, get this mayor out of City Hall. He's not good for Chicago. Believe me when I tell you. All their worry right now is about building luxury and pushing the middle class and the poor people out of Chicago. We need to make a front and counterfight these guys. Otherwise, we're all going to be lap rock, losing our houses, everything. Believe me when I tell you, they're really sucking us money like mosquitoes. Over.
All right. Thank you once again for tuning in with us. I'm going to let everybody get their 2 minutes in, and we're here every Monday, 5 o'clock, and sometimes we go over. So 331, 2 minutes, anything you'd like to say on closing on the way out?
I would just like to take a moment here and reiterate the importance it is of us total strangers. Everywhere we go, a lot of us are shy, and we won't talk to people, but I just mention it in an indirect way as a matter of fact way. When I'm at the store and I'm paying, I'll say, wow, these Rahm Emanuel taxes are really killing me. Now, here's the deal. Yeah, Rahm got a lot of votes from the Gold Coast. But what happened after he won? He raised their taxes too. So I'm thinking that we do have a chance in convincing these people that, hey, this guy's no good. He's raising your taxes also. And they're not stupid. Those people are educated. They're, you know, and we can get to some of them. So I think that the only common ground we have with the base that voted for Rahm, the common ground, the uniting, you know, let's rally around, you know, remember the Alamo type of, you know, cry, is remember the tax increases, you know, because everybody got hit with that, especially, and we're talking about the Gold Coast. Now, he carried the Northwest side, and surprisingly, Chuy Garcia was able to get 37% of that vote, which was, like, historic, you know, being a Hispanic. So even they got it. So, and they're upset now. So I'm saying, I just don't see how $35 million is going to make people forget, you know, because he's going to come in with $35 million. And he's going to run campaign. He's going to do his ads and his TV commercials and his mailers and mailers and mailers and do the whitewashing thing, you know what I'm saying? And get all these pretty little endorsements from all these organizations and sort of like, and then Chuy only has $6 million. And most of that came in the last 3 weeks. So, and he still only lost by 100,000 votes. So that's something for us to think about. In order for us to get him out, how much time I got? What I got?
Well, you've been out of time. I didn't want to cut you off. But just close it out real quick.
All right, close it out. The common ground we have here with people that voted for Rahm is to remind them that he raised the taxes after he was voted in. And we're not going to forget about it, you know. And I'll say it like an indirect way. What I'm saying is that's my plan. That's my plan of action, and it's been in play since the day after he raised the taxes. I said, okay, he gave me something. He opened himself up. I'm not going to let up on this. I got him on the ropes, I hope. And with that, right there, I feel he's in trouble. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. So let's go to the next one. 220.
Listen, I'm gonna try to be quick. I got statements I want to make. For one, when I go out, I talk to everybody. I talk to so many people. My children no longer like to go places with me. But the bag issue is really volatile. In my neighborhood, it's to the point where the store owner no longer even asks you, do you want a bag? I carry my bags with me anyway. I refuse to pay 7 cents. I don't care. It's petty, but I refuse. Okay. Number two, sometimes I get this nightmare in my mind that he's trying to – a lot of my coworkers retired and left the city. And my thing is I'm try to stay here as long as I can and fight as long as I can, because somewhere in the back of my mind, if too many of us leave, then they'll really do some sick shit and we won't have no pension at all. Okay, so those are the reason why I call in. I try to stay informed. And if anybody out there ready to throw a rock, believe me, I'm ready to throw it with you. And that's it.
Right, well said, 220. Let's go to 865.
We got to face it, you know. We're not in a good situation. I mean, the politicians stole our money, walked away. They're having the times of their life, and they're still doing it. I mean, they're supposed to be matching our funds. They're supposed to be paying, I think it's two-to-one funds into our pension fund. They haven't done that in 20 years. So, I mean, they're almost trying to drive the fund in the red on purpose. People got to wake up, man. I mean, this is a serious problem. They're trying to bankrupt our funds, so there are no funds. Then what are you going to live off? Your medical insurance is going out of this world. you ain't going to be able to afford medical insurance or a place to live. So there you go. And you all better start thinking about that stuff. I'm done.
Well said. Let's go to Dan.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was a great show, Reggie, and all the listeners and callers, and we'll see you again next week.
I thank you a lot, Dan. Pat.
All right, we got a little history here real fast. This city was rebuilt upon its own ashes by the people, not the politicians. The people rebuilt this city. We went into a time where manufacturing and everything was by the people. We drove out the one percenters with unions. We need unions to represent the people. This was a union city. We don't need a union to represent the mayor or any other asshole there is. This is our city. We want our city back and nothing less.
Thank you for that, Pat. And I'm going to say in close, I formed this show in 2010. And the reason I formed it, I felt that I cannot stand for somebody to give me a flyer with their face on it, and I don't know nothing about the person or their politics. And I don't like union politicians. And what I mean by that is a lot of people in this election are going to throw a flyer in a lot of the members' face, and just it's like going to be a high school prom. Who's popular? But they don't know how they're voting. And as an e-board member that sits on that e-board, I want to say to all the members, if you let the same guys get back in there, I feel sorry for our future. So on that note, I see you guys next Monday. I want to say thank all the callers because, you know, I see we're growing more and more. And tell people about us, you know, and see can we bring more people. On that note, I played My Way going into this, but on the way out, I'm going to play my Revolution. So thank you guys for calling, and once again.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare line, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment line, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a gonna rise up, get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run.
Talking about a revolution. Oh no. Talking about a revolution.